The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Homeowners, why throw away hundreds of dollars every month to the electric company when you can save thousands of dollars over time with a solar energy system? Green Solar Technologies is proud to be a platinum installer for Solar World, the country's top-selling manufacturer of American-made solar panels. Call 800-519-2170 for a free estimate and take advantage of tax credits, grants, and rebates which won't last forever. Stop paying high energy bills and start saving money by calling 800-519-2170. 800-519-2170.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
It seems a little bit hypocritical. I mean, just a little bit hypocritical. It seems that way, but I'm going to let you decide. Just a little bit hypocritical, but again, that's just me, so I'm going to let you decide. The Congressional Progressive Caucus. Isn't that called Congress?
That's what I thought. I was about to say, you mean Congress?
Everybody in Congress except Louis Gohmert and Mike Lee.
All of you except
those five people over there. The Congressional Progressive Caucus introduced the Raise the Wage Act. You know, the RTWA.
Oh, the RTWA.
Yeah, the Raise the Wage Act. And you know what that says? We should raise
the minimum wage.
That's right. Their plan would be to push the federal minimum wage to $15 per hour. Make that the law of the land. As it stands, the federal minimum wage is $7.25. Based on the number of hours I put in, I need to speak with payroll today. Something ain't right. We may be in violation of federal law.
Think we need
to. So yeah, $7.25, the federal minimum wage. They want it to go to $15 an hour. More?
Pretty big hike.
More than double? Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty big. Now, the minimum, that's the federal minimum wage. There are state and local minimum wages that are much higher. There are some states that have passed. In fact, I think the majority of states have at least part of their states that are higher than $7.25.
Right.
I think Seattle was over 10 now.
I thought Seattle had reached the 15. Am I wrong? Are there only a 10?
They passed the 15, but it was going to be phased in. It may be there now, but when they originally passed it, it was going to be like $11 the first year and 13 the next and 15 or something. But they're on their way.
Their goal is to 15.
Right.
How are they doing?
They're not doing well with it. Just so you know, they're...
Yeah.
I'm trying to... If I were to try to put it into a sucky, the sucky is how
they're
doing.
They're sucking at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've prepared an extensive report on our raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, and I would like to read from that prepared report now. It says,
papers in order.
Sucky. That's how we're doing.
That is the term that we are using, officially sucking.
Sucky, that's how it is. Not doing well with it. So anyways, you got this Congressional Progressive Caucus, $15 an hour is what they're pushing for. In their press release about it said, the federal minimum wage has been a stagnant $7.25 for far too long.
Far too long.
Forcing workers to juggle multiple jobs while barely making ends meet.
Barely making ends meet.
Barely.
I'm going to be like a preacher in a church.
Preach it.
Echo everything you say.
It has 184 co-sponsors.
184 co-sponsors.
In Congress. 100. Okay. You know how many, what is there, 190-some Democrats in the House and 46 in the Senate?
I think we're at 290-something.
So that's 239? Roughly two. Yeah. There's 184 co-sponsors.
That's kind of, the math so is not.
We're all in this, right? I mean, that's like 77% of co-sponsors. Isn't it usually like, I have this bill, Cal's on board, I'll get two other people, we're all co-sponsors. Everyone's like, they're doing something I think is going to make me look good. Put my name on it. Put my name on it.
Yeah. I want to jump on that. Can I get a little action on that?
Of the 184 co-sponsors, 174 of them have unpaid interns.
Are they going to Can they pay those guys? They're going to give them the minimum wage?
No, they're not. They're because they're unpaid interns.
But they're trying to get everybody fair,
that's why
equal.
I said it sounds to me like it's a little bit hypocritical. Just a little bit hypocritical.
We're supposed to, you know, get everybody on and livable wage, and everybody needs help, and we got to make this a national thing. And oh, but not the interns though. We can't pay them.
Come on, be reasonable now. They're scum.
They're not real people.
We're talking about actual living, breathing people here.
But not, no. Interns, you misunderstood us.
They're like two-thirds of a person, you know.
Three interns make up half a person.
They're like five-ninths of a person. It's not. They're not like a real person. Come on, we have to pay them. I mean, employees, sure. To do that. So it seems to me like it's a little bit, just a little bit hypocritical.
Just a bit.
In their press release, when they said that the $7.25 stagnant minimum wage had been that way too long, they said for years the CPC and progressive groups like Fight for 15 and Good Jobs Nation have fought for workers' rights to a living wage and have continued to show how low wages impact the daily lives of working families. But of course, interns don't have families because they're like pod people.
Yeah, they grow those on trees.
It doesn't affect them. Here's the interesting thing. If you're an intern in the Capitol, if you're actually working for the congresspersons in the Capitol, you have to actually live in or around Washington, D.C., which is pretty damned expensive.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining getting paid, first of all,
would be
really, really nice.
Yeah.
And then maybe getting paid $15 an hour.
Would be really nice.
That'd be probably really nice there for you. You might be able to actually eat.
We pay them an experience. They don't need money.
We give them far more than $15 an hour in experience. I'm sure it's something like that because otherwise, it seems to me like it's hypocritical. But I'm sure they're paying them some other. They might be paying them in unwanted sexual advances. How you doing there? You're an intern, right? Let me tell you about Bill Clinton.
Come on over here. Stand right next to me.
There is only one co-sponsor out of that 184.
Only one?
Only one that actually pays interns.
He is? Or she
Senator
is?
Bernie Sanders.
Oh.
So, okay, good, Bernie, because he pays them $12 an hour. And
really? $12 an hour?
What's the bill? $15 an hour.
We need to get them three more dollars.
So the only one who actually pays them says they're good with 12. We need the federal minimum wage to be $15 an hour.
Pay no attention to what I pay the interns.
Bernie could actually just pony up three more bucks an hour for these people. By the way, when I say that these members of Congress, 184 co-sponsors, do not pay the interns, they don't even pay their staffers. We pay the staffers.
Oh, that's right.
See, that's the other part. Right. It's not like Bernie's like, I just don't have the money to pay the extra $3 an hour. He doesn't have that. It's just allocating the funds that they get. We give them a budget. I want to say it's, I think they get something like $1.5 million per year for salaries for their staffers in total. And they get an office budget. It may be the same thing for like, you know, pencils and printers and whatever stupid, like office supplies. It might be $1.5 million, but the way it works, they can allocate those funds to employees, their chiefs of staff and, you know, receptionists and whatever, in just about any way they see fit. But there are some parameters. For example, they can't pay anybody more than like $300,000 a year.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, I'm glad that's the limit.
Yeah, it's really high. I mean, they couldn't hire one person and say, here's $1.5 million.
Right.
So there are some limitations, but they can pay them. It's into the hundreds of thousands, and they can hire as many as they want within that amount to something like that.
Right.
And then they
divide the budget however they want.
Right. So they could hire all these interns. They've just chosen not to. And it's not even money out of their pocket. Listen, if Bernie Sanders or Chuck Schumer or any of these other dirtbags that aren't paying them, if the Sherrod Browns of the Senate. If they wanted, they could pay him. It's not coming out of their pocket. It's not like Sherrod Brown's going home going, honey, we're going to have to sell the third house. We just can't afford it. I
got to get these interns an extra.
I got to. They're just struggling so much. You know, the federal minimum wage has been stagnant too long. These people are barely making ends meet. Sell the fourth house in order to pay them. They're not doing that.
No.
He still gets his cushy little lifestyle.
If you think about it, it's like your entire job is fully funded forever.
Right. Yes.
And you don't have to worry about bringing money. Like most companies have to worry about bringing money in.
Yes.
So they can pay their staff and run a business.
They don't have to worry about that.
These guys don't have to worry about that. It's
right.
Always there.
In fact, the stuff that they're working on funding isn't their office and stuff. That's all taken care of. It's like, hey, we're getting paid.
No
we have a
what.
Retirement. That's right. No matter what, we have health insurance. We have a congressional gym. We have a congressional dining room. There's a barber at the Capitol. I'm not kidding. There's all this stuff. That's all set. We're good. Right. We're fine. And our staff, good to go. We don't have to worry about running out of pencils or anything. It's all perfectly taken care of. What they're arguing is funding everything else.
Right.
And they say they need a tax increase and still can't stay within the federal budget and have racked up $20 trillion in debt. So
it's hard, you know? It's hard.
Bernie Sanders, the one noble man, still screwing him out of $3 an hour that's not coming out of his pocket.
Nope. Nope.
I mean, can't his wife go and steal some more money from some bank somewhere?
What a, you know, can you get off that? Your butt and just
steal some money and pay the interns, Bernie?
We need $3 more an hour.
Go back to the bank. Lie about our finances. By the way, a 2015 study by the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco says that minimum wage increases are harmful to low-skilled workers because employers have to spend more money. So those with less qualifications get the boot.
So none of this is going to work anyway.
No, it wouldn't work anyways. Oh, okay. And the others will either lose hours and have to do more money.
More work. More jobs. More hours.
Yeah. Or excuse me. They'll have to do more hours and they'll lose money. Right.
Yeah.
That's how the whole thing works. Because, again, unless you're in Congress, you actually have to make that stuff up. You actually have to balance the budget. Congress, it's just unlimited. That's fully funded. It's taken care of. So it seems to me a little hypocritical. I'll let you decide. And let us know on Twitter. It's at Doc Thompson Show, at Cal79, who's back in the house today, at Real Chris Cruz, and at The Blaze Brad. If you want to join us, use the hashtag What I Learned Today. Got to tell you about Brick House Nutrition and their product, Dawn to Dusk. It's an extended-release energy supplement that lasts up to 10 hours, increasing energy, improving your mood, and stimulating your brain. Cal, over the past week or so, did it help you to have increased energy, improved mood, and brain stimulated?
Let's just put it this way. This past week was very tiring for me. I was running around a lot, didn't get much sleep. If I hadn't been on my Brick House and my Dawn to Dusk, I probably would have
crashed out.
At least my car. I mean, I was driving a lot. Let's put it this way. I would have slammed into someone or something. So thankfully, I was on the Brick House. I had my Dawn to Dusk. No energy issues, extended relief, gave it to me throughout the day. No jitters, no shakes.
That's the nice part about it, right?
It is,
there.
Especially when you're like me. Especially over the last week, getting like maybe 3 hours a night of sleep.
So if you're somebody working a lot of long hours, let's say maybe an intern in Congress and not getting paid for it, you could use the extra little boost. Try Dawn to Dusk. Maybe you're somebody working for Claire McCaskill out of Missouri. Maybe you're working for Sherrod Brown. Need a little help? Try Dawn to Dusk, the extended release energy supplement.
Write this down, okay? It's BrickHouseDoc.com. BrickHouseDoc.com. Enter the promo code DOC. Get your 15% off because we all know you need it. You need that because you're not getting paid by your bosses, except for the guys with the Bernie Sanders office. But the rest of you, that extra little bit of 15%
I want
helps.
You to notice what they've done here at Brick House Nutrition.
What's that?
They fought for 15% off.
Exactly.
Hey-o.
Good morning.
BrickHouseDoc.com, promo code DOC, 15% off, Dawn to Dusk. This is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Homeowners, why throw away hundreds of dollars every month to the electric company when you can save thousands of dollars over time with a solar energy system? Green Solar Technologies is proud to be a platinum installer for SolarWorld, the country's top-selling manufacturer of American-made solar panels. Call 800-519-2170 for a free estimate and take advantage of tax credits, grants, and rebates which won't last forever. Stop paying high energy bills and start saving money by calling 800-519-2170. 800-519-2170.
It seems like BS. Just a little bit of BS, but I'll let you decide. It just seems like a little tad. Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri, back in March, tweeted out, "I've been on the Armed Services Committee for 10 years. No call or meeting with Russian ambassador ever. Ambassadors call members of Foreign Relations Committee." See, talking about Trump and Flynn and all these different people that supposedly had connections.
Said, with the again, Russians.
Right. Specifically, this had to do with then-Senator from Alabama, who's now the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions.
Sessions,
I believe.
Sessions, plural.
Jeff Sessions, I believe. Anyway, so Jeff Sessions, because he had had a meeting supposedly, and so again, once again, she tweeted out, "I've been on the Armed Services Comm for 10 years, no call or meeting with Russian ambassador ever. Ambassadors call members of Foreign Rel Committee."
What's Foreign Rel
Committee? Relations, Foreign Relations. So she's never had it, and this is back in March. Within moments of her posting that, people posted a screen grab of another tweet of hers from 2013 that said, "Off to meet with Russian ambassador."
here's a little tip, Claire. The internet is forever. You put something out there, it's not.
Wait, what? Make sure I thought it was like temporary. It just was like for the moment. It's gone.
And you know what? Somebody's always going to find it.
Again, so.
Especially when you put your foot in your mouth.
No call or meeting with Russian ambassador ever. Never. Off to meet with Russian ambassador. That's what it.
You meant those Russian ambassadors.
I didn't realize you meant that.
I was talking about other
Russian ambassadors, like the
Russian. Oh, you said ambassador?
I was thinking ambassador.
It's different in Russian.
So anyways, that was, people found that and instantly posted up. Well, they now found that she actually was at a, not just meeting with him, but she hung out with him at a big dinner party.
Oh.
She claimed that she'd never met with him. Now they've discovered that she was at a long dinner party with him. This was 2015. So again, she tweets it out in March. Uh-huh. And they're like, "Hey, in 2013, you said you were off to the meeting." And then they found out in 2015, she was at his Washington residence for a black tie event. So more than once she's been there.
So that whole ever never thing wasn't really.
Ever means twice.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
never ever means twice.
In the Gregorian dictionary. Yeah,
that's
of
what
English.
It means. Two times. Yes, okay. It's equal.
All right. That's good to know.
It's like Roman numerals. You got to kind of convert for. It's like that. Something just like that.
IX equals 9. V. Mm-hmm. I always get it. It's confusing.
She has an explanation besides the.
Oh, okay. So she's got. Okay, I'm sure that'll. Yeah. She's going to clear it all up.
She said, "I should have been careful about the 140 characters and given it context." There was no context for "I've been on the Armed Services Committee for 10 years, no call or meeting with Russian ambassador ever."
What's the context? Because it kind of pretty clear.
Well, because she only had 140 characters and she was right at that 140, she should have put one-on-one meeting with the ambassador, and she didn't have that number of characters.
Oh.
She couldn't put it in there. It's funny because I changed just a couple of things. I just took out I've.
Okay.
Because you see people do that. It's
kind of
understood.
You know, it's kind
and
of
put a... been on the Armed Services Committee, and that got me five characters right there. And I needed just a couple more.
You gotta be creative with your tweets, you know?
Right, that's what you do. And she had already abbreviated Foreign Rel Committee from Foreign Relations, so I abbreviated Armed Services to Armed Serve Committee, and it got me enough characters to do 1-on-1 before meeting. And she could have no call or one-on-one meeting with Russian ambassador ever. See, she could have done that. If only she had better tweeters on her staff, or maybe if there was some sort of like class or something she could take to tweet better. Because otherwise, and again, this is just me, if not, it sounds like BS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What her quote should have been, I should have been careful about the 140 characters when I was lying in my tweets.
Could you get that in?
Yeah, I think if you, like you said.
Like a follow-up tweet with 140?
You work out a couple of the other parts and free up some letters, you could have fit that part in.
How many characters in, I'm full of three poop. Character full of. You can get that's definitely under 140.
Yeah, that'll fit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe she can work on it. I'm thinking maybe we fund for probably trillions of dollars some sort of training for Congress.
She needs to pay her interns. That's what it is. She needs to pay them a little better. Yeah.
You get what you pay for.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Tweets in with the hashtag what I learned today. It's at Real Chris Cruz, at Cal79, at Doc Thompson Show, and at The Blaze Brad. So Cal is back. A lot of people are happy to hear you're back because they're getting worried.
Are they really?
Not in the office.
Oh, okay.
Like the people online listening, really that type of thing. Yeah, around here we're not so happy. But see, they were a little worried because you just disappeared for a while, and then we kept saying you were coming back, and then some days we didn't talk about it. So people started thinking you'd been Skip's Diner.
Had a meal at Skip's Diner. No, luckily, no Skip's Diner. My wife is pregnant. We're expecting a baby soon, and there was a little bit of a scare over the past week. Baby just decided, hey, I think I'm going to show up now, like 2 months early.
Yeah. See, 31 weeks isn't the full 40. No. That wouldn't be as good.
Yeah, no. So actually, it was 30 that she was at, and then this past week put her at 31.
Everything's cool though, right?
So far so good. It's like a day-to-day thing. She's I don't know what's going on in her uterus. It just seems to be a
well, if you don't know, I don't know.
It's kind of cramped in there. The party's just getting crowded, and the kid and this has happened with our first, with my daughter.
You had similar things, right?
Yeah, but she was also earlier. She was about 30. 6 weeks, 35 weeks. Baby just decided to show on up early. So we had to head over to the hospital, admit her, and they put her on bed rest and gave her a cocktail of stuff.
I'm sure she's not lying to you, just get out of working.
To get me out of working?
No, to get her out of working.
Oh, well, maybe, yeah.
Honey, I felt the cramps. I think I'm in labor. I better just lay in bed for 6 weeks.
We were at the doctor. It was a routine check, and because she's...
Is it a female doctor?
It's a female doctor.
Oh, they're in on it.
See, this is the other thing. Because she's high risk, quote unquote, and she's had a premature baby before, she's has to see... We see like three different doctors every couple weeks. So she has a specialist, and then she's got the OB who specializes in preemies. And so she was in a routine checkup, and they're in there looking, under the hood. And she's like, "You're this is the term, your cervix is short." And I have no idea what that means. I'm just like, was that bad? Is that, does she need an oil change? What is that? So she's like, yeah.
A couple quarts.
Your cervix is short, which basically means that the baby is deciding to come now. So they admitted her into the hospital, and she was dilating, and she was having contractions and all that stuff.
But they managed to stop it at this point.
Yeah, they managed to stop it and gave her some cocktail stuff to kind of put it off. But for the entire week, it was like one day she'd be good, next day it'd be like they come back again, and then or a couple hours she'd be good, and then the next hour it's like contractions are back again, and like
it's so crazy because you just every day they can stay, the baby stays in utero is better for them.
Yeah, every and day in there is better.
The good news is 28 weeks, for people that don't know, it's not actually 9 months, it's 40 weeks. Mm-hmm. Out of the 40 weeks, 28 weeks is the magic number.
Right.
28 weeks.
That's the danger zone. Before 28, you got some problems.
Right. There's... Quite often, even if the baby grows up healthy and there's minimal problems, you are more likely to have some sort of issue. Mm-hmm. They may be fine, go on to lead a happy, healthy, life, long life, under 20, 27 weeks or whatever, a lot of amazing. But 28 and over, you decrease the likelihood of some sort of issue, health issue, or ongoing health issue dramatically.
Yeah.
And then I mean, every hour they're in utero, yeah, it just racks up. It's better for them. Yeah, especially their, lungs are the big thing prior to 28 weeks as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's because they haven't fully developed yet. And, so they wanted to keep her. She's going crazy. My wife is a very active person, so she's literally sitting in bed, not doing anything at the hospital.
And your first, your daughter was born at 34?
Yeah, just over, about 34 in a couple of days, yeah.
Okay.
And we got a scare with her, but they were like, it's fine, this is not out of the ordinary. So they wanted to keep this one until, for at least another week, and they had her on observation. And again, the doctor would come in every day, one day, she's just so sporadic. It was like, he's like, I don't feel right sending you home. Mm-hmm. You're looking good at one point and then not, so let's keep you under observation, and we live like 40 minutes from the hospital, which is a bit of a pain. So he's like,
oh, back to the doctor.
Yeah, I don't
back
want to
hospital,
send you home. And then, on your way and you're delivering a kid in the car because you got a bit of a drive. So
yeah, that's not good.
He's like, let's just keep her here. So I was just back and forth, and I had my daughter here with me as well, because we just moved to Texas. We don't really have anybody to really help.
Yeah, your family's not here.
Yeah, so I had my daughter, and I was like, just, taking care of her, and then going to check in my wife, and I was
it's
back
really
and forth
stressful
in the hospital, and yeah.
Well, and then because you're dealing with all the logistics there, that first of all, you have your job and everything that we all have, so everyone has these issues, and then you have the logistics of taking care of your daughter, and you don't have your wife's help and whatever, and you're dealing with all that, and then the emotional stress of saying, is the baby going to be okay? Is my wife okay? Is the baby going to be okay? I did that when my oldest son, who lives in Cleveland, was born. His mom's water broke at, it was actually like a leak. It wasn't even like the full, just had
just
issues.
Just
sprung a leak, basically, at like 29, 30, I think 30 weeks, something like that. So it went through the same thing, but because it hadn't fully broke, they're like, you think if you don't move and you just lay here in this hospital bed for 3 weeks.
That's the thing, just sit there. And that's what.
And by the way, most of the time, if your water breaks or there's a rupture at all, I think the statistics show a baby is born within like 36 hours or something.
Because that's like an infection. There's like a lot of risk there.
Right. You get all that because there's a natural seal. So she laid there for weeks, and I was getting up doing the morning show in Cleveland, drive to hospital all day there, all night, and whatever. I didn't have another child I had to worry about. And that by itself was incredibly stressful.
Yeah. Not much sleep in the last.
And they managed to keep him from being born for about 3 weeks. They did amazing. This is a Cleveland clinic. It was they were amazing. And he ended up being in the NICU for 6 weeks or whatever it was, and was fine, but he had to have a little PICC line put in his veins and into the heart and whatever.
My daughter was
so
also,
much craziness.
She was intubated when she was born, and they had to put a feeding tube in. Never something you want to watch or see your kid go through.
It's amazing, just a couple of weeks like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, it is.
How rapidly they grow.
The development rate is pretty staggering. How fast, and every day, like you said, every day counts. So
yeah, they had him all bundled up like a little burrito wrapped up with the blanket like that, and unable to move, and little visor over his eyes because they had to have the light on him to keep him warm and all that.
The crazy thing is they don't know, like the first time around, we thought, because again, my wife is she's a very fit woman. She's a trainer and all that. Mm-hmm. And she was working out all the way into like, basically until she gave birth. Like she was doing barbell squats and stuff. And that's when I told her, because I'm like, should you be doing this? She's like, the doctor said, as long as I'm careful and it's not like it's something new. She's like, I did this before I was pregnant, so it's okay to do it while I'm pregnant.
Right. That's usually they say don't increase or whatever. Yeah.
So and I'm like, so when it happened, and now looking back, I was like, that's what caused it. You know, you're doing barbell squats at 7 months. You know, what do you expect? And then here, this time around, she took it very easy. She didn't work out nearly as much because of this. She was just going very easy, and it still happened. So, and they don't know. We asked the doctor, like, is there anything? No, they're like, there's no cause for premature births. There's nothing that points to it, And
see, it's stories like this too, because I mean, that's expensive. I mean, the baby's already racking up bills, right?
I hate to say this,
The meter's running, right?
This whole week, obviously we're stressed about the baby's health and my wife and all that.
That's first,
but
sure.
Like 7% of it in the back of my head is like, God, what's this going to cost me this week?
Well, no, Cal, and it's not because you're saying, what's it going to cost me? I can't buy that boat.
Yeah, no.
That's not what you're saying. You're saying, what's it going to cost me because I have to feed the baby once he comes out?
Do everything else. On top of it, I'm thinking, oh, man, what is this?
Right.
A week in the hospital, this is not going to be cheap.
See,
extra week.
These are the things that the average person goes through. When we talked about Obamacare and now the American Health Care Act, and you hear them debating this in the Senate and whatever else, This is my frustration because this is real life. I went through the same thing, the bills and everything. A lot of people go through it if you have a pre-existing condition. It's not that I'm not sympathetic to that. Of course I am. Anybody going through anything like that is horrible because most of us are not saying, hey, I'm not going to be able to buy that Lamborghini or something.
Right.
It's because you're trying to feed yourself and take care of your family and everything else. But the solution is not what we've been doing. You know how I know? Because it hasn't worked.
It doesn't work.
It has not worked.
Not at all.
And their solution is let's do more of that. We had a system prior to Obamacare with a bunch of rules and regulations, and we allowed the insurance companies to confuse us to what is health insurance and what is health care. And instead of saying, let's change that system and do something different, we said, let's do more of that.
Make it even worse.
Because really, right, all we said was, let's now allow the government to do some of that.
Right, to set those rules.
Right, so the government set
because
the rules.
Because they do everything else right.
Right, they set the rules and regulations which caused some of the problems. And then the government said, hey, the insurance companies aren't able to work within those rules that we set up. Let us also try to work within them. Womp, womp, womp.
Exactly.
Because number one, it didn't work for others. How are you going to do it? Number two, it's our money you're redistributing, which isn't necessarily fair, because there are people who can abuse the system.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, let's take a step back and do something completely different that would allow people to be innovative in how they use health insurance, how they get their health care, how companies start and provide both of those services. We didn't do that. So now, after 8 years of Obamacare, or mostly 8 years, I guess it's probably seven or something, since they passed it, the House and Senate, the Republicans in the House and Senate, the Republican National Committee, all of these had time to come up with a better plan.
8 years.
And the House did not come up with a good plan. It's a bad. The Senate's plan now is horrible, and it was scored yesterday by the Congressional Budget Office.
I saw that.
By 2026, 22 million uninsured. And next year, 15 million. Now, here's the problem. Garbage in, garbage out for what they score. That also includes some of the people that are not currently under insurance, that are currently not buying insurance, whether they face the penalty or not. So it's not necessarily accurate. But you have progressives saying the bill isn't progressive enough, and conservatives saying it's not conservative enough. And nobody is saying, how about we all talk about something different? Forget your political ideology for a moment, whether you're Republican, Democrat, conservative, progressive. Has it worked? Has Obamacare worked? Did the system work prior to that? No, it didn't work.
There's obviously issues. We need to do something different. But no, it's the same crap.
I know what it is. We do what they've done in those successful countries like England, where their health insurance company or system doesn't work.
Oh, the socialized health care? I thought that was working for everybody.
No, they don't have the money either. So that doesn't work. How did this whole thing start?
You know what hasn't been tried?
Free market. Allowing people to make their choices and decisions based on what they want and companies to make their decision.
What are we going to lose?
Right.
Give it a shot.
How about we do 6 years of this?
Yeah, just give it a shot.
Just clear it off the board and see what happens in 6 years. And by the way, and if you say, well, it's been a failure, this company was abusing whatever, then you create just a little tweak.
Let's just go in there and tweak that one little part.
Hey, try Relief Factor. If you're somebody that suffers from chronic pain and you don't have that health care because your health care sucks because it's Obamacare and you're still suffering with that chronic pain, try Relief Factor. It's an all-natural anti-inflammatory. And the key there is it's actually an anti-inflammatory. It gets rid of the inflammation in your body, thereby alleviating the pain. It's not just pickling you and masking the thing. Yeah, it still feels like my leg's going to fall off, but I'm okay with it because I'm all drunked up on the narcotics.
Pop a couple more pills to hold me off for about
20 minutes.
20 minutes, yeah.
And, of course, then it's going to cause a bunch of other problems for me, too. In fact, I'm going deaf because of it. Huh? You don't have that with the Relief Factor. It's all natural. Try it today. It's helped thousands and thousands of people. The stories we get that come in, regular emails, regular calls, people call in to talk or tweet mentioning how good it worked for them. Try it today. If you know somebody with chronic pain, maybe suggest it to them. Get a 3-week quick start pack for just $19.95, and you can get it at relieffactor.com. It's relieffactor.com. Or if you want to go old school and dial them up, it's 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384 for Relief Factor.
The next generation of talk radio.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
on the Blaze Radio Network.
Tweets coming in. Hashtag what I learned today. Let's see. Kool-Aid drinker. Hashtag what I learned today. Taxpayer funded tweet training for Congress. We'll call it keeping things on the covfefe. I love that that will be around forever. By the way, I turned to my wife over the weekend. I'm on Twitter sending something out. And I go, you know, if I was Trump, I would randomly a couple days from now just covfefe it up.
Yep.
Why not? Bring it back. Just bring it back.
Right.
For like
I would just covfefe. Own it. Start selling. I'd put that as part of my, again, you can't fix it, feature it and go big. Because it diffuses any attack from the left where they start, because they're owning covfefe now. You know, some people on the right, some Trump supporters are, but really people are on the left are using it as a punchline. Covfefe this, covfefe that. Right. Own it. Go big. I'd start selling shirts today if I was Trump that says covfefe 2020.
Absolutely.
I'd be all, do you know how many shirts he'd sell today? Covfefe 2020, official Trump merchandise, Make America Covfefe Again 2020.
But then the left would be all over him.
Sure. But that's his, that's part of his power is stuff like that. When they're over him for stuff like this, he's playing at a different game
what
or
if
a different level.
Dropped it in the speech somewhere, just like, and we need to, covfefe, tremendously get involved. And make America
we need to
covfefe
this, especially if he did it quickly.
Yeah, just out of nowhere.
And then people would question, did he really say it? Was that something under his breath?
I was at Comic Con. Covfefe, if you, something like that.
Did he have a stroke?
Right, that's it. I think he just said covfefe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, if we'll play it at slow speed. And you decide if he said it or not.
It'll be like the Zapruder tapes. They'll just
over and over
every second.
But that's what you have to do with it or whatever. Just own it on up there. Get the tweets in. Hashtag what I learned today. Coming up just minutes from right now after the news, Brad Staggs with today's headlines.
They're good too.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.